It's time for Apple Farm Chatter, your podcast for all things Apple Farm Service, the latest ag news, dealership events, and upcoming trends. Put on your work clothes. Apple Farm Chatter begins now.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Apple Farm Chatter. Here, myself, Kent Holmes from Apple Farm Service, joined with Travis Wolf from the marketing department.
What's up, everybody?
And our special guest today is Nick Zacharick from the Ohio State University with the Farm Science Review. How are you doing today, Nick?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
It's a good correction. You have to have the, otherwise.
The Ohio. Yeah, I have some friends that go to OU, and they always say, OS who? And I say, you got to... Got to remember who has the endowment, the Ohio State University.
Yep.
But thank you for joining us today, Nick. It's a pleasure to be able to talk to you a little bit about Farm Science Review. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, there's always something new going on at Farm Science Review, so happy to share about those things. And a lot has happened over through this last calendar year since the last Farm Science Review, too. So happy to answer any of your questions you might have, too.
Yeah, a lot has happened. We'll talk about what's happening on the grounds, what's going to be happening this year. I know the show is coming up here in about 2.5-3 weeks. So how are you feeling? Is your blood pressure always get a little higher this time of year?
Yeah, I've done this a few times, so not my first rodeo. We're ready for it, and I kind of like this time of year. There's a lot happening. I like activity. Family stuff is always busy this time of year too, so you kind of balance it all, and they all know what's going on too at home, so it's always fun, and they really enjoy what's going on at home. But at Farm Science Review, everybody always asks, that's a full-time year, job. And absolutely, there's something to do all the time. I do something for Farm Science Review almost every day. So getting prepared is, this time of year might seem a little hectic, but, it's this way all year round. Most people just don't see it.
Yeah. And I know anyone who lives in Ohio or around the Midwest knows the Farm Science Review. For, I guess, our listeners that might live way out Illinois, we have some listeners from Illinois and out in the Corn Belt out west. So for those that aren't quite familiar, what is the Farm Science Review?
Yeah, and I'm always surprised, some even people in Ohio that haven't heard of us, and then you go miles away and, I can go to California and people are like, oh, Farm Science Review, that's awesome, or even further. Sometimes out of the country, I talk to some people in ag industry and they know about the show. They know about a lot of shows, so... Farm Science Review is a 3-day agricultural professional trade show. We're hosted by The Ohio State University, like you mentioned. So we're a department of the College of Food, Agricultural, and Environmental Sciences. What that means for us is a typical farm show, we may just have a little bit more education than most. So when you come to Farm Science Review, you're going to see a lot of branding from Ohio State University, and that's by design because we're providing a lot of different educational resources across the state and the Midwest. And so we want to showcase all the things that are happening in the college. So a lot of different extension program areas, a lot of different teams that are doing different things, either research, education, and just outreach. All those things are happening at Farm Science Review to kind of showcase what's going on the whole rest of the year in those departments and teams. So most extension services in different states have the different field days and educational opportunities. Ohio State, we have a plethora of things. There's a lot of things going on, and we want to showcase those here. Just in case you haven't understood what fully resources are available through our college university, you can find that here. We started as kind of more on the corporate side of things, on the private side. We were approached by some machinery manufacturers saying, hey, we need to have a show in your area, and approached our dean of our college and said, hey, here's our idea. What do you think? And they said, yeah, we can use that as a showcase for ourselves and invite everybody else too. So a lot of people know Farm Science Review and sometimes may not even understand that we're part of Ohio State University, which that's fine. Come here and we'll still educate you without you knowing about it. But at the same time, you got all of this eye candy, what we talk about with the machinery. That everybody wants to come and see, and there's always something new. And it's not just the machinery. There's seed. There's the different products that you need for inputs. There's the services for consulting and for banking, financial things, auction services, and then a lot of different things on the fringe of that, with technology too, where it may not be for everybody, but a lot of people think it's cool. You guys are familiar with drones at Apple Farm Service, and that's really an emerging market out there in agricultural industry, and there's a lot of things for that too. So at Farm Science Review, we kind of cover all the bases for agriculture. We get a lot of farmers here because that's the bulk of the agricultural industry. But some people come to Farm Science Review as a commercial applicator. They're looking for different products for their needs too. You got distributors that are looking for new product lines. You have manufacturers that are looking for new distributors and new retailers. A lot of business to business happening too, and not just necessarily a farmer coming to look for what they need for this fall. It's what they need all year round, and then all the other pieces to the agricultural industry also. So it all comes together, education and just the shopping center that Farm Science Review is for farmers and agricultural people in the community too.
Yeah, and I know, Travis, this is the first time you've been here, so after we get done with this, we're going to go check out our lot and drive around, and, you know, and I guess you were mentioning that little bit of the history of it. Because it's interesting, there's a book that I read, I think it was Corn is King, and it was talking about the history of universities and state-ran universities, and it's just eye-opening for those that don't know how much state universities, they all began with the idea of education on agriculture first. And I think Ohio State's the same way, right? It began as for agriculture, correct?
That's right. And most people may not understand that, you know, Ohio State University began as the, you know, an A&M. People know A&M from Texas A&M or some of the other A&Ms. Mm-hmm. Ohio was an A&M also, and we changed to Ohio State University. We call ourselves the Cornerstone College, the College of Food, Agricultural, Environmental Sciences. We were the college. We were the first one. So we call ourselves the Cornerstone. That's how Ohio State got to start, and we still have a big, strong presence in the agricultural industry. We have a lot of other big brands within Ohio State, you know, with football, and some, you know, the hospital is huge, and so there's some really cool things happening. But agriculture is still pretty relevant out there. There's some great agricultural universities across the country, and we're ranking among them. So we're pretty pleased with where we're at and want to continue that trend and tradition.
Yeah. And I guess you mentioning this, what's new? For those that have come back year after year for Farm Science Review, there's always something new. So those that want to come this year and they're wondering, well, do I need to come back? What's new for them to check out this year?
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the stigma of farm shows. A lot of times people say, oh, well, it's the same thing every year. And I hear that a lot. I was like, wow, you didn't look very hard out there. There's a lot of new things every single year. We do see some trends, you know, some of the things that go on through, you know, our dealers privately, some of the things that we see. So all the different exhibitors are coming in because we get all different types. I mentioned all the different areas that we kind of cover with financial and all those kind of things. With you guys doing the drone thing with Hylio, that's a trend. And I see that as more of a, you know, segment of the market here soon too. It's not just the drone itself. People need to be educated on how to use them. The products that are a little bit different from if you're dumping in, you know, your product into a big sprayer versus that little drone tank, what's the difference? What products am I supposed to be using? The different support tools that you need. So everybody's kind of making do with, okay, I'm going to adapt this to use it for this. You know, the supplies that you need for doing drone applications are quite a bit different. So there's a whole industry, sub-industry kind of coming out of that. So I still see some more trends with some new things with that coming up. All the other new technology with AI and autonomous machinery, those trends are still continuing. A lot of those products aren't completely out to market. There are some things, you know, with selective spraying areas and things like that, that products are out there. So we're going to see some things like that, and there'll be some demos along with that. So we have a segment of the field demonstrations that are Ag Innovations that, you know, you guys, Apple Farm Service, participated in last year to see the Hylio drone spray and what that means for farmers. And there's more participants for that this year, and doing some different things with autonomous machinery and including irrigation. So there's some things with that. Energy is a big topic. There's always been exhibitors at Farm Science Review. Of course, the fuel side, there's always the diesel, the oils, the lubricants, all the things that farmers need. But then on the new side of things, over the past several years, solar's been a topic of conversation. So there's some educational things and opportunities there of finding out what's happening in the industry, and not necessarily the large scale. People have their differing opinions on how the large scale stuff goes, but also on the smaller scale. If I wanted to put something on my farm that was going to service, if I have a livestock operation, it makes sense for me to use solar. What do I need to do? What regulations are there? What are the options? All those things, all the way down to the residential solar. So there's people, exhibitors that are here to sell residential solar panels also. So if that's something that fits your needs and maybe could possibly save you a few dollars on electricity bills, there's exhibitors to talk about that. Trucks to trailers, skid steer attachments always continues to evolve a little bit, and trucks from all different sizes up to semis and trailers, not just semi-trailers, there are those too, but down to any type of utility trailer that you might need. They're going to find some exhibitors with those. And then just tools and supplies, it just continues to evolve. The power tools, the cordless tools, you know, over the past couple decades has really changed and adapted. And really anybody can use these power tools. Anybody can come to Farm Science Review and find something that they probably need if you use any kind of power tools. And then fasteners and stuff too. So if you're looking for supplies and fasteners, a lot of farming operations that have grown a little bit have been able to utilize some type of a fastener program with some different companies, and you'll be able to find a few of those here too.
Okay. So lesson of the day, come with an open mind, come with an open notebook, and come with an open checkbook here at the Farm Science Review.
Just keep everything open.
Everything open. And make sure you bring your bag too, because, you'll probably get a Yellowback's bag as well and fill it up with all of your, we were joking before, and all the different freebies that you get when you come to the Farm Science Review going from tent to tent. So it's always interesting to see over the years, what all have you collected from all of the exhibitors?
Yeah, and you know, unfortunately for me, during the show, I don't get a chance to go talk to my exhibitors much. But, you know, I see them before and after the show, and they always, if they have something really cool, they'll share it with us and say, hey, check this thing out we're giving away this year, you know, those things. But I get the luxury, I guess, of going to see other farm shows because I'm going to talk to those exhibitors mm-hmm. Since it doesn't really provide enough time for me to have good conversations during our show, and I may have an hour or two to be able to actually spend going around the exhibit, different exhibits, but I have a mission. I'm going to do different things to take care of some business and things. So when I go to these other shows and stuff, that's when I don't ever plan to pick up a bag, but there's always something that somebody has that you have to take with you. And it amazes me every year, the creativity that exhibitors have for promo items.
You know, say, Travis can tell you a little bit. Did you know that there's actually a black market for these freebies?
Oh yeah.
There is. Travis can explain the black market on them.
I'll say there are these guys who just collect everything. They think it'll be worth money. And they're right. They find some sort of I don't want to say sucker. I'll say enthusiast. And we actually have a recording of an exchange.
We went undercover to find this for you. So here's where the freebie from the Farm Science Review freebie black market for you, Nick.
Hey, buddy. Look what I got for you.
Excuse me? I'm not interested.
Hey, you look like a guy who likes farming stuff.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Then take a look at what I have.
Is this legal?
Of course. I have a permit at home. Just forgot it. Now here it is. All the memorabilia from Farm Science Review pasts.
I think I already have most of that.
Wait. Do you have any yellow Beck bags?
Oh, like 20.
That's not enough. How about another 20?
Please, no. I'm going to be late.
How about some pens? They click.
I'm all right. Thanks.
Oh, I have more. Koozies. Who doesn't love to keep their drinks cold?
No, I'm good on those.
Plastic cups? Who doesn't love a good cheap plastic cup?
Are those the kinds that change color when you put something cold in it?
Only the best for you. And why not add some notepads and sticky notes?
Why would I want something that their logo takes up half the space to write on? No, I'm sorry. Have a good day.
Okay. I guess you're a tough sell, but hey, save the best for last.
I said no. Take care.
Hats.
Did you say hats?
Yes.
Well, no. I already have at least 2 or 3 dozen.
What's one more hurt then?
I really shouldn't. My wife, she's already told me. I have a problem.
What's to say you can't hide one more in your truck?
I could, but no, I shouldn't.
Okay. I guess I'll just have to see if the next chum wants this one.
Is that the kind with the elastic band?
Oh, I guess it is. But that's all right. You said you didn't want one.
How much?
Ah, how about I cut you a deal? 35?
25?
Deal.
Just please don't tell anyone, okay? I really need to stop, but just this one time.
Your secret's safe with me, friend.
Do you struggle with collecting too many farm equipment hats? There's a place for you, Apple Farm Service, your home for branded hats, clothes, and toys. Stop by today.
So there you go. If you didn't know, Nook, there is a black market for freebies from farm shows. So
I was just kind of thinking that could be a possibility, but now I know for sure.
Yep, we have the proof.
And I'll confess, the koozies is where I'm at, because I had that same problem with my wife of too many hats.
It's a common theme for farmers. I think we all have. I'm condensed to one hat, one tote of hats, but I know people have three or four totes of hats. Yep. So they have a whole closet full of hats.
It's called a collection. Right. It's not a problem. It's a collection.
And mine specifically has to be the soft, collapsible ones, because those other foam ones and other ones, they just took up too much space. So I'm confined to a certain amount of space I'm allowed for my collection.
Man of practicality.
But joking aside on all of the freebies, you were mentioning earlier about just being run by Ohio State. Yes, it's a farm show. You can see what's new on equipment, but it really is close with Ohio State and what you guys do on the college side. So one interesting that's here that you don't see at other farm shows are the different experiments that the students are putting on, all the different studies. So I guess what kind of experiments or studies kind of can we check out here this year at on the grounds?
Yeah, and I'll put a plug in to our Food, Ag, and Biological Engineering Department has led a big push for extension research gathering. So we have a publication that's called eFields, and you can find it digitally too online. And it's kind of expanded too. We now have eBarns for livestock, and now there's going to be a new one for specialty crops too. So we have these publications that are out, and it kind of summarizes some of these research projects. And a lot of the ones in eFields, you'll find several that are at the Molly Caron Agricultural Center here where Farm Science Review's at. So those are the fields that we have here. So we have field demonstrations that a lot of people are familiar with for Farm Science Review. But we have 2,100 acres total, and we use 100 acres for the exhibit area, 100 acres for parking, and then we have about 500 or 600 acres, depending on the year, about 500 acres of field demonstrations. We also have some woods. We have a conservation area, the Gwynn Conservation Area, 67 acres. We have a couple hundred acres in conservation also. But that leaves us over 1,400 acres of farmable land. And, you know, with the 500 for field demos, that still leaves us a lot of opportunity to do some things. And we don't do a lot of small plot research. We do large on-farm, full-scale research. And so some of the projects we're doing there, there's some things with irrigation. So you may be familiar with some machines out there that are irrigating, not quite the center pivot style, the newer style. There's a company called 360 Yield you may be familiar with that's doing a project. They have a new machine out called the Rain. So the Rain unit is able to systematically go through a field pretty much autonomously. You can control from a tablet. So we're doing some research projects with that. And it's not necessarily just irrigation, but we're doing some fertigation with that. Determining, you know, what kind of value we have there. Initially, you know, there's not anything published out there yet. Initially, it looks like pretty good data. So you'll be able to find some of that in the eField. So the reports for that are there. So our agronomic crops team leads the efforts on that. So you can go to their space. It's right inside Gate C. Over half of our visitors come in Gate C. So first thing you see is agronomic crops team. They have some plots there. And a lot of the things they're doing in those plots aren't actual experiments there. Some of it is, but we find that, you know, when you have 100-some thousand people come through a plot, then the data may not be so great. So what we do is we do replications of some of the research projects. And some of it's not even research projects. It's just a way to start a conversation. So why is this little plot so weedy? You know, and they might tell you why. Or why does this corn look stressed? And they can kind of tell you why. And so it starts a conversation, not necessarily a research project there, but they can talk about the other research projects across the state at our several other locations where we do small plot research. Through Ohio Ag and Research Development Center, so OERDC is the kind of the research arm, and the extension educators and other researchers are using those spaces to do their research projects. And so some of that's just duplication of what they're doing and kind of explain how those work. So there's a lot of cool stuff happening. I could go through a whole big list of different projects. We just kind of wrapped up a compaction study that we used tracks versus tires. That happened on the farm. They did some other locations and things too. But so the researchers had some good findings from that. So may check that in eFields too if people are interested in those kind of things.
Yeah. And where did you say the publication? Because those that, you know, really care about the data, what's going to work best for their farm? How do they find that again?
So if you just put in a search eFields OSU, you're going to be able to find that digitally, and it's, you know, free download. So you can check that out. And then we have the print publications here at Farm Science Review you can pick up from the agronomic crops team when you come in the gates. So, okay. Or on the way out too, so you don't have to carry the book. It's getting a little thicker each year. They're doing a little bit more projects and including more. A lot of the projects are with cooperating farmers. So if you are a farmer out there that you want to do some research with Ohio State University, I know that they're always looking for new cooperating farmers to do projects with. So if any of those things are of interest to you and think it could benefit your farm, then we could do some projects with you and provide that in the book and provide that data out there. And so I'll kind of explain a little bit just in detail of the e-fields. It's research in a university setting takes a while to get published. So all the journals and things that where you would publish an article if you do a research project, that's the peer-reviewed network. So it takes a few years sometimes to get that research out there. The eFields is the fast-track version, if you will. So it's not published data yet. It's just the initial findings of what we're figuring out. So if it helps now to get that information out, then we want farmers to hear about what's happening first. So if there's something that's obviously a benefit, we want farmers to be able to use that information immediately and not have to wait 3 years to get that published article. And I don't know how many farmers actually read published articles out there. I think a lot of times our researchers and educators do a pretty good job of, once it is published, trying to put it in the, you know, the actual press release form or a form of data for different, you know, field days or presentation winter meetings that they do, to be able to synthesize that and put it out there in a way that's understood. But it just takes a lot of time to get to that point. And so if we can put it out there faster in the e-fields, that's what we're hoping for.
No, but that's good. I think farmers appreciate that, not having to wait for old data to be able to get their crops and their yields up. And demos are always fun to watch, the on-field demos. What's, are there any exciting new ones or ones that you're looking forward to the most this year?
Yeah, I mean, more than anything, I'm just happy to see some bounce back. So from the pandemic time, when we went basically down to almost nothing, you know, and inventories were tight, those are loosening up. Of course, you know, sometimes inventories being available isn't a great thing for dealers. You know, you have stuff sitting on the lot you're hoping it will get sold. But when you do have equipment available to do demos, that's a benefit, I think. So kind of we're getting some combines back for we've had some corn and soybean harvest, a couple more machines in there. And then also some of the tillage. There's some different new tools out there that people are wanting to share. So those are some things that are happening. And then the Ag Innovations, I kind of mentioned that earlier in the podcast about drones, autonomous machinery, AI, those kind of conversations. In our researchers also have a private cellular network they're working on doing some things with. And it's just kind of an idea, because you know, not everybody has great connectivity on internet across Ohio. If you're close to an interstate, you have pretty good connectivity through, you know, whatever main providers are out there that you can get access to or plug into if you have a fiber down your road. Pretty far and few between when you get out in the rural areas. What can you do to get that data? So if you have one place you can plug in, can you get your whole other farm, the rest of your farm, connected with the private cellular network that's basically managed by yourself? So the data speeds that you need to be able to run and operate your phone, it's basically the same for everybody. Everybody's doing kind of the same thing. You're downloading a lot of information. On the farming side, in the future, what we're kind of looking for is, you know, what are the capabilities of uploading information? So if you have sensors, you have cameras, you have all these things on your machines, how can you use that data? A lot of times right now, if you're collecting that much data, you're having to like pull it off your machine when you're done with the operation for the day. How can we get it up there faster and utilize that information? So the best way we see to do that right now is if you have your own private cellular network, you can control the upload speed. So you can upload stuff really fast and be able to put that stuff up there. And kind of what we're finding out between 4G and 5G too is 5G has a lot more expanded possibilities with doing things with video when you get into that gigabytes of information, mm-hmm. or terabytes of information, or even bigger. So once you get beyond that, it gets really difficult to manage data. And if you can't utilize the machines because you can't upload the data fast enough, then we got an issue. So you just kind of find that trunk, you know, where the bottleneck is, and try to figure out how to get around that. And so we got some things to talk about there with Ag Innovations. It kind of expands every year, and they get a bigger crowd every year for that demonstration, so that's always exciting. So there's some sprayer technology that's going to be showcased in that also. And so there's a lot of things happening there.
Yeah, yeah. And it's always fun. Travis has not seen one before, so explain that ball. And Travis had a good idea in order to get even more people excited about the demos. I haven't seen them before, and I guess the idea that you had, what was it, Travis?
Oh, you know how people just eat up amount of content for anything, farming included. So we kind of had the idea of having a sort of collection of networks across the world.
We pitched it to some networks.
Yep, and we have a little commercial. If everything goes well,
we might have some networks covering the demos for you. So here's what we got so far for you that we pitched.
Can't get enough of the Farm Science Review demos? We can't either, which is why we're glad to partner with dozens of networks across the world to bring you the best of Farm Science Review field demonstrations. Now you can watch them on the Gulf Network.
Now here's the Great Plains Terramax lining up for the finish of his hybrid tillage. What a beautiful approach shot. And what a beautiful rip.
Or tune in to ESPN Deportes.
Y aquí viene el viejo blanco con su tractor. Se está moviendo a paso de tortuga. Se mueve, sway, mueve. Mira, atrás, y gol. A gol. Qué manera de cosechar mes.
Also available on the NHL Network.
Well, eh? Would you look at that? Looks like the deer has a breakdown in the middle of the corn demo, eh?
That's right, eh? It's a Case IH power play.
And if that's not enough, catch the fast action on the Speed Network.
He's moving at 4.9 miles an hour. Wait, he's up to 5.3. Oh, no. Now back to 4.9.
Get all the demo actions wherever you go with the broadcast lineup of the Farm Science Review demos. Coming to a cable network near you.
So it's still pending, but we pitched it at least for you. So we'll see if we get some network deals for you this year.
Yeah, that sounds great. My Spanish is a little rusty, but did I hear a turtle in there?
I don't know, honestly. I don't speak the Spanish.
It might have said, the old man is moving the tractor. Very slow, very slow. Goal, goal. What a way to harvest corn. So
Maybe.
I think that's what we said. But, yeah, the field demos are always a fun thing to watch. It's always watching the machines, but it's afterwards. It's always being able to go in and kick dirt, count the kernels. That's the biggest takeaway from the demos, not the actual watching it run, but then seeing the aftermath of it is what you see.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what a lot of farmers are looking for, too. You know, there's a lot of settings and adjustments you can make to all these tools. So I think farmers always have that in mind. But when, you know, the experts are here running them, hoping that it's pretty close to what it should be, you know, operational. And I think that, you know, all the manufacturers and whoever's participating in field demos do a pretty good job of making sure it's set the way it should be. So our field conditions hopefully will be similar to what yours are if you're nearby here. But if you're from further away, if you're a few hundred miles away and looking at, you know, field conditions for us versus, you know, your home farm, may be a little different. But I think, you know, having the opportunity to talk to the manufacturers or the reps that are there gives you an opportunity to check and see, okay, my field conditions would be this, you know, what would you recommend? And so there is a lot of opportunity, even if you aren't local to our soil types, to be able to find some good stuff in the tillage. And then also, like you mentioned, in the combines, yeah, there's a lot of different settings there too. And a lot of the different auto settings could be some discussion too for people when they come out to demos and asking the reps, you know, what did you have to do to set the machine up to get to this level? And some of the new things that are the new technologies out in all the combines are pretty incredible.
Yeah. Autonomous. I mean, not autonomous, but as far as settings for combines, but Case New Holland that we have, they're the same way. They have IntelliSense in one and automation in the other. Just the different technology that are out there. And I guess that the next question we had was, you hit on a lot on what new technology. And you mentioned a lot with artificial intelligence, and you had a different name for it, for the farming side of it, but kind of the same idea of using technology to bridge the gap to take, and it'd be interesting to sell the cell phones, because that's, we do talk about these combines and the other machines, you know, they're taking thousands of sensor data readings every hour. That's a lot of data, you know, and it used to be you always had the GPS, you had the USB stick, you took it, you went home, you plugged it in, you used your slow internet then at home to hope that it uploaded everything to the whatever platform you're using, whether it's a CNH branded platform or whatever you have, and then you got to remember to take it out and then put it back in your combine the next day, and if you forget, well, all your, you know, so yeah, data transfer, it's all important. I mean, is anything else on top of that new technology that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, I mean, you're hitting the nail on the head there with the data transfer and stuff too. When you talk about autonomy, the combine's not quite autonomous yet, but if you kind of look backwards in time of, 10 to 20 years ago, and everybody started to talk about autonomy and what the definition of what that was then versus now. Now the expectation is, once you talk about autonomy, is, well, it can't do this by itself, and it can't do that by itself. As soon as you can figure that out, then they find something else that, well, it can't do this by itself. If you look at our definitions, the old definitions, we're pretty much autonomous to what we thought we were, what we considered autonomous 20 years ago. I mean, the combine can drive itself. It can make some adjustments on its own. A lot of them now can even turn around on the ends and do all those things. But can it unload by itself? Well, you kind of pretty much can. And you can have a grain cart come up on its own autonomously and unload on a lot of different platforms. So there is some autonomy there, full autonomy. I think, you get to that next level. There's scientifically, there's different levels of autonomy, and those probably really don't matter to the average farmer. But making the job easier and more affordable is kind of the keys, I think, and can it pay for itself over time? So some of those things are almost there. Autonomy-wise, when we talk about different tasks and what the end objective is, you want to have grain in the bin at the end of the day. And how do you get it there could be a little bit different in the future. We have a researcher, our department chair of food, ag, and biological engineering. His name is Dr. Scott Shearer. He's talked for several years, and I think when he came back to Ohio State several years ago and he started talking about autonomous machines, and his idea is moving to smaller, more compact machines rather than keep getting larger. And we continue to see tractors and combines keep getting bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But at what point can we not drive them down the road anymore? And we thought we were at that point 10 years ago. They keep getting bigger, right? So what is the possibility of when we have autonomous machinery, should they be smaller so that if you're planting corn and you have a 90-foot planter and that thing breaks down for whatever reason, you have to be down for a few hours. Well, you're not planting that 90 feet at a time. If you have 10-foot planters and one of them goes down, you lost one, but you got 80 feet still planting,
mm-hmm.
and while the other one's getting fixed. So there's some efficiencies, I think, to be gained by doing some of those things. So it's not quite there yet this year at Farm Science Review, but you can talk to Scott's team out at Ag Innovations and they can kind of answer some of your questions that you might have towards that, and how can we even get to that objective. But I think it's probably closer than we think. We're spraying with drones that are smaller, probably spraying width. You can put a couple of drones in the air the same width as you can the big sprayers, and it's kind of in the same realm, right? It may not be loading itself yet, but it's flying a path that you predetermine, and it's almost autonomous there to a certain objective. So I think some of those things that you talk about with efficiencies and stuff, as soon as farmers adopt the technology, then they find the next step to make it implement and pay for itself, or to make themselves more efficient so they have more time at the end of the day to enjoy their families instead of being in the field all the time.
That is true. That is true. Now, we do have a surprise for you. We have a game for you. So we thought... with all the years here and seeing all the new technology, we wanted to quiz you on the game. Is it steel or is it manure? The tech game. So I ask you, we got four questions. We'll see how you do percentage-wise. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. Travis, you want to ask the first question?
Of course. Now, you'll have two options here. Which one of these actually exists and can be purchased? Option A, a machine that uses sonic waves to pulse the ground to kill pests living in the soil behind a tractor. Or two, a machine that uses electricity to destroy established and unwanted plants behind a tractor.
Oh, the electricity.
Yep. One for one. Yay! Yep. So yeah, these actually have been out for a couple years. I know Case New Holland purchased a company a couple years ago that does it, and there's other ones out there, but... yeah, it uses a generator that you run on a PTO on the front or back of the machine that creates enough static electricity to kill the root of the plant. It's really cool if you've never seen that before. All right, so we're one for one. Here's your next question. You ready? For $85, you could change this into the tractor. Could you change a Model T, a 1937 half Chevy ton, or a standard JIK steam thresher from the 20s? Which one could you convert for $85 into a tractor?
Ooh, $85. Probably the Model T.
Very good. Two for two. Yep. Back in the in the late 20s, early into the early 30s, you could get a Pulford Farm tractor where you get a Model T and essentially changing the rear end and the tractor tires to get enough traction. I think we might get it perfect. All right, you ready for question number three? This one might be a hard one.
All right. So, name the company of the following that does not make tractors one at a time. First company, Ford. Second company, Lamborghini. Third company, Chevrolet. And fourth, Mazda.
Which one did not make a tractor at some point?
That one's tough. I'm not sure if I've seen a Chevy or a Mazda. So
Ford, Lamborghini, Chevrolet, Mazda.
Probably Chevy.
Correct answer was Mazda. Chevrolet did produce one. It never made it to market, but they did attempt to make one.
I was just floored when I found out that Lamborghini made a tractor.
Lamborghinis. I think it's the last model is what made out in 2013. They have a full series of Lamborghini tractors. I don't think we have any vendors here selling them, do we?
Not currently. Ferrari, every once in a while, there'll be a Ferrari dealer.
0 to 30 kilometers an hour.
Two minutes.
In about 20 seconds. All right. Okay. And the last question, Travis.
All right. Last question. When was the first driverless tractor invented? The 1980s, the 1880s, the 1940s, or the 2000s?
Oh, that's tough. I'm trying to think of what would you consider driverless, but probably, let's say the 1940s.
Correct. Yeah. 3 out of 4. That's correct. The first one was in the 40s. Actually, New Holland was the first company to try to produce something.
Really?
Yeah. It was called the Sniffer. Have you ever heard of the Sniffer?
I have not.
But you'd have to bury a wire underneath the ground and essentially use magnets to be able to sense where the wire is, and it would follow the wire. They quickly realized that farmers already spend enough money tiling their field. I'm sure they don't want to, you know, run wires, thousands and thousands of feet of wire under their field just for that. But yeah, I 3 out of 4, that's
enough, I think, for a prize.
I would say so. So are you, but you do have to get a question right for the prize. So listen very carefully.
We'd like to thank you for being part of the latest episode of Apple Farm Chatter. And as our way of saying thanks, we'd like to give you a gift. We'd like to, but you first have to guess the final number in the combination to our giant golden safe.
That's magically right here.
We'll give you a little hint to help you get a wonderful prize that's waiting inside for you. The final number of the combination is higher than 5 and less than 7. Think quickly.
What is it?
Choose wisely. And now that you've put the number 6 into the combination, you'll see that you've unlocked it and have won an incredible new hat.
Ooh.
This customized Apple Farm Service hat is your very best friend in a fashion-run world. You can make yourself look cool around your kids by wearing it backwards. Or, if you want to look a little silly, you can turn it to the sides. However, nothing says, let's get it done. Then when the hat is worn the traditional way, and it can even block the sun from getting into your eyes. For being such a good sport, we even toss in a mug too. Everyone, let's give it up for our contestant one last time and congratulate them on their brand new hat.
Yeah. Yeah. Add to your collection.
Talk about freebies earlier.
Oh man, another one for you. Awesome. Well, Nick, I think we're about out of time here, and just really appreciate the time sharing a little bit of history of Farm Science Review, what's going on, the history of the what's been kind of the experiments going on, and I guess one question that we did forget to ask those that are listening, how can they get their tickets?
Yeah, so you can buy tickets online. If you go to fsr.osu.edu, you can buy tickets online, and our pre-sale tickets are $10. If you come to buy them at the gate, they're $15. We also have tickets, so you have printed paper tickets out at some extension offices that are participating. So if you have an OSU extension office nearby, they may be selling tickets there for us. There's some also agribusinesses that sell some tickets also. So you may be able to find those out and about across the state. If you're from a distance, the online ticket option may be best for you, but you can always buy your tickets at the gate when you come in too.
Awesome. Our guest today, Nick Zachrick, and Travis, any last words?
My last words, at least for this podcast, will be that anybody who wants to find us can find us on RSS, Spotify, YouTube. And if you go on YouTube, you can even see some animated skits for some of the commercials we've done in the past.
That is. Thank you so much for listening, Apple Farm Chatter. Catch us next month here, Apple Farm Chatter. Check us up online, applefarmservice.com.
Thank you for listening to Apple Farm Chatter. If you haven't, subscribe today. Want more from Apple Farm Service? Like us on Facebook, follow us on TikTok, and check out our website, applefarmservice.com. Happy farming from your friends at Apple Farm Service and Apple Farm Chatter.